You are so right. They do play.
We're lit up like a Christmas tree.
I was looking through. And we're going back into order, back from recess. We're meeting with Bob Paulson, county counselor, looking at a proposed ordinance setting forth a policy for complying with Missouri's open records and meetings laws. Joining us are Donna Neely, the county clerk. Bob?
Okay. I drafted, I think, along the lines of what you wanted me to draft, and certainly I'll make any changes that you wish. Ordinance setting forth a policy for complying with Missouri's open records and meetings law, Sunshine Law. There's actually a statute in 610 that requires us to have a sunshine policy. So, definitions, as used in this section, unless the context otherwise indicates, the following terms mean closed meeting. There should be a space there. Closed meeting, closed record, or closed vote. Any meeting, record, or vote closed to the public. Public governmental body, the county commission, any county board, commission, committee, task force, or similar group appointed by the county commissioner, presiding commissioner, any committee or subcommittee of the county commission, or of any county board, commission, committee, task force, or similar group appointed by the county commission or presiding commissioner, any county agency, department, or division. Public meeting.
Well, hold on just a second, Bob. Okay, thank you. I'm just...
Public meeting. Any meeting of a public governmental body at which any public business is discussed, decided, or public policy formulated, whether the meeting is conducted in person or by means of communications equipment, including but not limited to conference call, video conference, internet chat, or internet message board. Public meetings shall not include an informal gathering of members of a governmental body for ministerial or social purposes when there is no intent to avoid the purposes of this ordinance. Let me just say I'm going to work on public governmental body definition a little bit.
Okay, and I've got a question.
I don't like what I've got there.
Something that should be put in there, though, that I think is it doesn't, when you get into our governmental bodies, other than the commission, because when two commissioners meet, they are a quorum.
A quorum, they are, absolutely.
But any of these others that meet, two of them, that doesn't represent a quorum, then they're not in violation, are they?
Two members of planning and zoning are not in violation of the Sunshine Law if they're speaking about planning and zoning business, and they're not attempting to circumvent the sunshine policy. They're intentionally meeting in small groups less than the quorum to circumvent the sunshine policy. It is a violation of the sunshine law. But for two planning and zoning members, because there are, what, nine of them, and it takes five of them to have a quorum, they're not violating the sunshine law. The problem with the county commission is that there are three members, and it makes it very difficult.
Well, it's a problem if, in fact, two commissioners get together and are discussing county business. But two commissioners can get together and not discuss county business, and not that it would not be a violation of the Sunshine Law.
Sure, they can discuss the NCAA playoffs, for instance.
Exactly.
Or talk family, or have lunch, or right. But that there are certainly some times when it's provides an appearance of impropriety, I'm sure.
Yes.
Didn't mean to stop you there, but I just thought that was, as I look at this and we start talking about the sunshine policy and our meetings that are coming up in the future that deal with this, with the Mr. Durkin. So our bodies that are included within the county government public body, that was a statement that needed to be made, because this will have to be, are we going to adopt this policy and then have that go over in that meeting? Do you understand what I'm saying?
We're just going to go through today what Bob has presented. I think there's much too much for us to digest today,
right,
personally.
Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I've gone over public meeting. No, I haven't yet. Any meeting of a public governmental body at which any public business is discussed, decided, or public policy formulated, whether the meeting is conducted in person or by means of communications equipment, including but not limited to conference call, video conference, internet chat, or internet message board. Public meetings shall not include an informal gathering of members of a governmental body for ministerial or social purposes where there's no intent to avoid the purposes of this ordinance. Public record, and that's the same as this morning in the email policy, so I'll just skip over it. It's exactly the same. Public vote, any vote, whether conducted in person, by telephone, or by any other electronic means, cast at any public meeting of any public governmental body. Number two, meetings, votes, records to be open to public. Except as otherwise provided by ordinance, all meetings of public governmental bodies shall be open to the public. Except as otherwise provided by ordinance, all public records of public governmental bodies shall be open to the public for inspection and copying. Except as otherwise provided by ordinance, all public votes shall be recorded, and if a roll call is taken as to attribute each yea and nay vote or abstinence if not voting to the name of the individual member of the public governmental body. Any sound recordings, and this is a change.
Wait a second, Bob. Catching up with you here.
Let me know when.
Well, help me out. So any exceptions, must pass a county ordinance?
No. It would be in this ordinance. It could be in this ordinance. And you'll see later on that there are exceptions to public documents.
So except as otherwise provided by this ordinance.
Or any other ordinance subsequently passed. But, yeah, I would say
okay.
This ordinance.
I got you. All right. Thank you.
2.4, any sound recordings of county commission meetings which are retained by Taney County shall be open to the public at such reasonable times as shall be determined by the county department in charge of said recordings and subject to such reasonable rules as shall be imposed by said department. Any person may record any open public meeting by audio tape, videotape, or other electronic means provided the recording is done in a manner that does not disrupt the meeting. That's the law, so. Notice of meetings. All governmental bodies shall give notice of the time, date, and place of each meeting and its tentative agenda in a manner reasonably calculated to advise the public of the matters to be considered. If the meeting will be conducted by telephone or other electronic means, notice of the meeting shall identify the mode by which the meeting will be conducted and the designated location where the public may observe and attend the meeting. If a public body plans to meet by internet chat, internet message board, or other computer link, it shall post a notice of the meeting on its website in addition to its principal office, and shall notify the public how to access that meeting. Reasonable notice shall include making available copies of the particular governmental... Reasonable notice shall include making available copies... I don't understand what I've written here.
I understand it.
That's the problem.
There, I don't know.
There is something.
Reasonable notice shall include making...
I don't think it's a complete sentence.
It's not a
Bob.
Complete sentence. I'll complete
that
the sentence.
That explains everything, Danny.
It doesn't have to be for me to understand it.
Okay. I'd like to give notice that it's not reasonable sitting between these two.
Reasonable notice shall also include posting the notice on the bulletin board in the Taney County Commission offices on the second floor of the Taney County Courthouse in Forsyth, Missouri, and on a bulletin board or other prominent place which is easily accessible to the public and clearly designated for that purpose in the building in which the meeting is to be held, which is here. Notice conforming with all of the requirements of Section 3.1 shall be given at least 24 hours exclusive of weekends and holidays when the facility where the required notice is posted is closed prior to the commencement of any meeting of a public governmental body unless for good cause such notice is impossible or impractical, in which case as much notice as is reasonably possible shall be given. Each meeting shall be held at a place reasonably accessible to the public and of sufficient size to accommodate the anticipated attendance by members of the public and at a time reasonably convenient to the public, unless for good cause such a place or time is impossible or impractical. Every reasonable effort shall be made to grant special access to the meeting to handicapped or disabled individuals. And all of this is just a restatement of what the law is anyway. When it is necessary to hold a meeting on less than 24 hours' notice or at a place that is not reasonably accessible to the public or at a time that is not reasonably convenient to the public, the nature of the good cause justifying that departure from the normal requirements shall be stated in the minutes. A formally constituted subunit of a parent public governmental body may conduct a meeting without notice as required by this section, during a lawful meeting of the parent governmental body, a recess in that meeting, or immediately following that meeting, if the meeting of the subunit is publicly announced at the parent meeting and the subject of the meeting reasonably coincides with the subjects discussed or acted upon by the parent governmental body at that meeting. And again, that's just the law.
That's in the
statutes.
So if we appoint a committee, and that committee is subject to the Sunshine Laws, and they meet at the same time that we're conducting a county commission meeting or they're present for it, then that's...
As long as you've posted on your agenda that topic. If they're meeting on transportation, you wouldn't have to have them separately post. They could meet at the same time you're meeting or immediately afterward. As long as you announce at your meeting that they're meeting.
Thank you, sir.
If another provision of law requires a manner of giving specific notice of a meeting, hearing, or an intent to take action by a governmental body, compliance with that section shall constitute compliance with the notice requirements of this section.
Did you take these? These are statutes.
Yeah. Well, that isn't out of a particular statute, but, I mean, if there's specific notice that's required by statute, you need to follow that statute.
Okay, go ahead. And I just didn't mean to interrupt you.
Closed meetings and votes, and I won't go over all of this, except to the extent otherwise required by ordinance, a public governmental body is authorized to close meetings and votes to the extent they relate to the following. And then what has occurred here is a restatement of the statutes. 610.021 provides various things. This isn't everything. It's a summary. And then procedure for closing meetings. Except as set forth in subsection B of this section, no meeting or vote may be closed without an affirmative public roll call vote of the majority of a quorum of the public governmental body.
Lost where you are, Bob.
I'm on 5.1. I skipped over.
The reason I asked him about that, he's aware of procedure of closing. Those others are all statutes.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
The vote of each member of the public governmental body on the question of closing a meeting or vote and the specific reason for closing that public meeting or vote by reference to a specific section of 610 shall be announced publicly at an open meeting of the governmental body and entered into the minutes. A public governmental body proposing to hold a closed meeting or vote shall give notice of the time, date, and place of such closed meeting or vote and the reason for holding it by reference to the specific exception allowed under the provisions of Chapter 610, and those are in 610.021, by the way. Such notice shall comply with the procedures set forth in the section of this ordinance for notice of a public meeting. Any meeting or vote closed pursuant to Section 4 and Section 5.2 shall be closed only to the extent necessary for the specific reason announced to justify the closed meeting or vote. Public governmental bodies shall not discuss any business in a closed meeting which does not directly relate to the specific reason announced to justify the closed meeting. And again, that's all already the law. Closed records. All county records, to the extent they relate to the following, shall be closed records to the extent allowed by law. And I state that so that there's a presumption that it's closed if they fall under one of the exceptions, and you can always make it open. But
that's
the 21st one, and I don't know if I've gotten them all, but with the 21st one, I have. It says, any other category that may permit the closing of records, including any category added to Section 610.021 RISMO, subsequent to the enactment of this policy. And that's the section that provides all these exemptions.
We don't need to go through those reasons.
They're all in the statute.
They're all in the statutes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Just look at 610.021 and you'll see those.
They're all there.
Availability of public records, number 7. And this is one that I've changed. From the original version that I gave to you. The county clerk shall be the custodian of records of certain public records of the Taney County Commission. This shall include the minutes, resolutions, and ordinance of the county commission and contracts entered into by the county commission. The county clerk shall not be the custodian of records for emails of the county commission. Emails shall be governed by the electronic records retention policy. Further, the county clerk shall not be the custodian of records for other entities under the authority of other elected officials, nor for those departments not directly supervised by an elected official, i.e. planning and zoning, road and bridge, legal department, human resources, etc. Each department head shall be the custodian of records of the department's records unless the department head appoints one or more record custodians and notifies the county clerk of each appointment. The head of...
With your permission, I'd like to address section
Okay. Ron?
Yeah.
This ordinance is limiting my access to documents, which is given to me by statute. In 50.172, it specifically says the original of all accounts, vouchers, and documents approved or to be approved by the county commission shall be preserved in the office of the county clerk or at some other place approved by the secretary of state pursuant to the provisions of section 28.120, which I have or did have earlier today. And copies thereof shall be given to any person, county, city, town, township, and school.
Don, I don't have 28.120 in front of me. Is that the one that refers to the Secretary of State, the documents from?
I had it earlier today. I don't know what I've done with it. But it doesn't really mean anything.
Refer you gentlemen to 7.8.
Let's wait and hear what she has to say, Bob, and then we'll come back, right?
Okay.
And if he has something different than 7.8.
Well, 7.8, 7.8 is the catch-all statement.
Yes.
Read 7.8 just for the discussion here.
Nothing in this section, meaning section 7, shall be interpreted to restrict the county clerk from having access to, or when required by law, possession of the documents or copies of same necessary to perform the duties of the office of county clerk.
Which is fine, but why are we saying something opposite in 7.1?
It doesn't necessarily mean you're the custodian of records for documents, even if you have them.
The original of all accounts, vouchers, documents approved or to be approved by the county commission shall be preserved in the office of the county clerk.
And the collector has collector stuff and the assessor has assessor stuff by statute. And if we make the clerk the custodian of records, then the clerk doesn't have possession of those documents, but she's still custodian of records as to those documents. When people make requests for those documents, she facilitates copies of them for people. Custodian of the records does not necessarily mean that you have those documents in your possession. Or that you don't.
I don't necessarily have concerns about documents in the assessor's office. Because once they leave the assessor's office to be approved, they come to my office. Nor do I have issues about the collector's, anything the collector has, because anything she has that you're going to vote on will come through the minute process. However, vouchers, it's even stated over here in...
There's nothing that says that you don't get those in your office.
Go ahead, Donna. What were you going to say?
I mean, it even talks about how the process of burning, and it's the county clerk's duty to destroy by burning. You know, so it clearly goes into definition that it's mine, and I have to retain that for a period of 5 years.
I'm not sure exactly what you're talking about, and I apologize. Which records are you referring to?
Anything that you have or will make a decision on.
County commission.
The county commission. That means all of the vouchers, the warrants, everything that's in the auditor's office. The commission makes a decision on it, payroll, all that.
Where is it? In the auditor's office?
It's in the auditor's office.
Okay.
Which I don't have a problem with it being in the auditor's office, as long as when there's a request for it, it goes through me. I keep a record of it.
Let me back up. I thought you just said it had to be housed in the county clerk's office.
Right. But years ago when this came up, I went to the auditor and to the treasurer and said, here's my document saying that you can store these in your office, so that they can be available for your use, but when they're done with their retention period, they have turned them over to me, and then I make sure that prior to being destroyed, that gets entered into the minutes, any documents are going to be destroyed, and that they meet all retention.
So is that what we're doing right now?
That's what we're doing now. The documents that the auditor has stays in his office until his policy is until it's met retention, and then he turns them over to me generally. And the same thing for the treasurer. And then once they turn them over to me, we store them in the jail until they've reached a period of 5 years of retention. And then we pull them out, we list them on the minutes, and then have them destroyed. And I don't have a problem with them being stored in somebody's other office as long as I'm not being limited to the access to. Do I go look through the auditor's documents? No, I always ask him to give it to him or his staff. So that's why I'm so concerned that this seems to be limiting to me.
I guess I'm not finding.
The county clerk shall be custodians of records of certain public records of the county commission. This shall include the minutes, resolutions, ordinance of the county commission, and contracts. It doesn't say anything about any other items that are listed in 50.172, which includes any documents of the commission, vouchers, accounts, or anything that commission shall has approved or will shall approve in the future.
Bob?
Yes.
You respond to that for me?
Well, custodian of records is for the Sunshine Policy. I suppose I could put something in the Sunshine Policy regarding retention, that nothing's to be destroyed, that is subject to the clerk's retention schedules. But I've said in 7.8 that nothing in the section shall be interpreted to restrict the county clerk from having access to, or when required by law, possession of the documents or copies of same necessary to perform the duties of the office of county clerk. I don't know how clear you can get that she gets whatever she gets by, if she's supposed to have possession by law, she gets it. And if she needs access to it, she has access to it. But it just means that when somebody comes in requesting records under the Sunshine Law, that she isn't the one that produces it.
So what you're saying is, instead of a citizen coming to my office to ask for a document, you would want them to go to the IS department and request that document?
If you let me read through the entire thing, you would see that they're supposed to inform you as to who their custodian of records is in each department. And then they go to that individual and make their request. That's something that you just do now. They come into your office, and then you go to somebody in each department to get the records of those departments. So it really isn't any different than what it is now. And those records are housed in those departments anyway.
That's right. They are housed in their departments. I would only suggest that in saying specific things are kept in my office, that we just include the statute here, just as we've done in other parts of this ordinance.
Just speaking from a practical standpoint,
sure.
If I interpret this strictly, I'm not an attorney, so let me rephrase that. If I have the counsel over here interpret this strictly, I wonder what he would say when it says the original of all accounts, vouchers, and documents approved or to be approved by the county commission shall be preserved in the office of the county clerk, or at some other place approved by the Secretary of State, which would probably take us to the 28120 that you're referring to.
Yeah.
That actually doesn't say anything, if I remember properly, nor have any bearing on anything that we're talking about. But it does list that statute.
Yeah. But there's another portion that you're reading also.
But my question here is, if in fact we were to literally interpret what that said, then all of these documents that she's talking about, we need to cart up and take down to her office. And from a practical standpoint, I don't think you could house all of them.
And I don't want to. And that's where in came the document that I created years ago that said the documents in the office of the treasurer and the office of...
Well, I appreciate the document you created, but this says shall be preserved in your office. Or when I was clerk in my office. I mean, if we look at it strictly for what it says. Now, let me go back to what you've written and then what you've put in 7.8. Donna, you don't find that the language he has in 7.8 gives you all the access and clearly states.
I do think that 7.8 gives me access to documents all over the county. I don't have a problem with that, Ron. I just don't know why we're limiting it. We're opening it up in 7.8, basically saying, here you go, get whatever you need by law. But in 7.1, it appears that we're reducing it. So there seem to be contrary. And And I don't know in statute how any office can be custodian of records. And again comes the comment that Bob and I discussed. The Office of Planning and Zoning, Road and Bridge, the Legal Department, Human Resources, all those departments, IS Department, they exist only at the bidding of the commission. That means any documents in those offices are the possession of the commission because they're not statutorily formed.
Actually, they are. Planning and zoning is a statute that was passed in 1966 by the people of Taney County. Road and Bridge is a statutory position. There's an administrator by statute. Yes. County Councilor is by statute. Let's see, what else?
All appointed by the commission.
Well, Sewer Board is appointed by the commission, yet they're a separate body politic. I mean...
Again, my goal is not to keep every document in the county in my office. It never has been. I can't handle it. Don't want to handle it. It's just that I still think I should be custodian of records. We have a process now wherein if a citizen comes to the county clerk and requests information, we enter it into a computer program. It tracks that. We set in that program what department is to handle each item. We type in the item that they're supposed to get. They present that information to me and give us a cost. Then we bill the individual. It keeps track of what department is doing the work, how much time it takes, and the cost.
Okay, let's come back to 7.1. If I'm looking here all the way down to 7.8, each one of these other points you have, Bob, are explanatory in nature to the availability of public records?
That's correct.
Would you read through those and then we'll come back? I want to see what...
Starting with 7.2?
Yes.
Each department head shall be the custodian of records of the department's records, unless the department head appoints one or more record custodians and notifies the county clerk of each appointment. The head of each county office or department responsible for staffing a county board, commission, committee, task force, or similar group shall be the record custodian of the group's records unless the head of the office or department appoints another person to serve as record custodian and notifies the clerk of the appointment. The county clerk shall maintain a complete list of the identity, location, and telephone number of each record custodian for each county department, board, commission, committee, task force, and similar group. Each public governmental body or department shall make available for inspection and copying by the public of that body's department's public records. No person shall remove original records from the office of a public governmental body or department or its custodian without written permission of the designated custodian. Each request for access to a public record shall be acted upon as soon as possible, but no event later than the end of the third business day following the date that the request is received by the custodian of records of a public governmental body. If records are requested in a certain format, the public body shall provide the records in the requested format if such format is available. If access to the public record is not granted immediately, the custodian shall give a detailed explanation of the cause for further delay in the place and earliest time and date that the record will be available for inspection. This period for document production may exceed 3 days for reasonable cause. If a request for access is denied, the custodian shall provide upon request a written statement of the grounds of such denial. Such statement shall cite the specific provision of law under which access is denied and shall be furnished to the requester no later than the end of the third business day following the date that the request for the statement is received. And then 7.8 is the catch-all again, that nothing in the section shall be interpreted to restrict the county clerk from having access to or required by law possession of the documents or copies of same necessary to perform the duties of the office of county clerk. Can we go on to fees? Or?
No. Refresh my memory. When the state in its infinite wisdom first came up with the concept of a custodian of records for county governments, the commissions had the appointing authority to do that. I could understand Donna pointing out specific statutes regarding records in the clerk's office. But here under 7.2, you're talking about department heads appointing. Do they have that authority, or would this document from the commission, is that what you're saying?
This
give them that authority.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay.
And right now, I mean, most of the document production is done informally, as probably the members of the press can tell you. If they want a document and it's something that I can give, they come see me and I give it to them. Or they go to planning and zoning and they give it to them. If it's just one page or a couple of pages. Sometimes, if it's a more formal situation, there's a PSR, and it goes through the clerk currently, and then the clerk has to go down to the department and request the records of those people in that department, and they get the records and can convey them to the clerk, and then the clerk conveys them to the requester. But also, under the Sunshine Law, you're entitled to not pay for copies if all you want to do is look at the records. And to look at the records, you have to go where the records are. So it makes a lot of sense to have it certainly doesn't hurt to have a custodian of records in the department in which you want to get the records.
So, Rodenbridge, let's say that person is Jane Doe.
Right.
And somebody could go to Jane Doe. She serves as custodial records for Rodenbridge.
Correct.
And would find those. Otherwise, currently we go through
Donna. And then Donna goes over to Rodenbridge or calls over to Rodenbridge and gets those documents.
We'll have... has to go to whom? Somebody over there to get it.
Probably Jane Doe.
I'm guessing that she doesn't know where they're at. I wouldn't know where they're at.
No, whenever we had the program built that actually emails each department, it emails to a particular computer. And then if we don't get a response within so many days, it sends an alert back to my office, back to my computer, saying this department has not responded to this PSR within the appropriate amount of days. So that's one of the ways that I have of making sure that the county is complying with the 3-day requirement, because the system automatically emails me if that's not being taken care of within 3 days.
Right.
And I mean, there are arguments both ways. There are arguments for centralizing it with the clerk, and there are arguments for putting it in the departments where they're going to be doing the work anyway.
Are all these... I'm just going to call them rules and regulations. Are they all provided for the benefit of the citizen? That's exactly what they're provided for. And when they do that, whatever is most accessible and easy to the public should be taken into consideration. Am I right about that?
I think that's a good policy, to make it as easy for the citizens as you can. Mm-hmm.
Did you expect he was going to say, no, we should charge them just a ton? I'm just kidding.
No, but you know what I mean. I think that our
no, I think that's a great point, Dan.
What we're talking about here is accessibility, responsibility, and...
They generally come to my office to get the information first. If this happens, then all I'm going to be doing is sending them to another office to get what they want. Because most of the time they don't know where the information is stored. We find out where the information is stored. They don't have to go to the other department. We fill out the PSR and send it out. So that person's not walking all over the county trying to find documents. And I can tell you, there's a certain person in here that has requested information that has walked to different departments trying to get the information. Yeah, and that they need it. So... I know that's been an issue with citizens before.
Well, let me just say that Section 7 seems to be the one that is specifically 7.1, but everything else deals with 7.1 and 7, is the one that seems to be in controversy. Everything else in here is pretty much by statute. And the reason for a sunshine policy is not only the statute says we'll have one, it also protects you. If you follow the Sunshine Policy, you're protected.
Is there any violation if somebody, a citizen, comes in and says, Mr. Trahan, I need to know where such and such road easement is in for my property, and I take them over to Rodenbridge and I pull the information out and show them, and they happily go on their way versus contacting Donna to fill out a PSR request and then her have to put it on and...
Actually, they don't get to request information. That's not what the Sunshine Law is.
I know.
The Sunshine Law is they can request a public record.
Right.
Okay? It has to be a public record. If there's not a public record or...
there, what I'm saying, Bob, this, that is satisfactory to the public. Whenever I, if I would do something like that, that is a there is a legal document that says that that easement is there, and they can see it. And if they request that it be printed off or something like that, sure, it might be something different. But if they request it and I provide it, that is accessibility to the public, to the government, and we take care of it in a responsible, beneficial way.
We do that now, Danny. If they just want to look at records, we send them where the records are. We don't go get the records.
As I said, 95% of all requests for public records or information, it's handled informally.
The only other thing that I'd like to have added is there's nothing in here that says that documents that the commission has or will make a decision on needs to be turned over to the county clerk for destruction. I certainly wouldn't want any records kept in another department destroyed by that department when clearly it's my job to do.
That could happen right now, is that correct?
That's an issue.
So we might need a retention policy that's separate from our sunshine policy? Is that what you're saying?
Or a part of. Since it all has to do with records.
Again, I asked if you had a retention policy earlier, and I was given the Secretary of State's retention schedule, which is a good retention schedule.
Certainly, but it doesn't comply with... this one right here.
Can we move forward and come back to this? Well, I'd like to cover the rest of this area.
That's the end of it.
The fees is the end, and the fees are pretty much what the statutes say.
Okay, but here's a question. Okay, regarding fees. Here we are, electronic document retention. We have an attorney going through emails right now based off a PSR request, because our policy is he needs to determine if they're public or not public, exempt or non-exempt. His rate, he's the only qualified person to make sure that we are in compliance of our policy. His rate is higher than a clerk's salary, hourly.
And you can charge that. It says copying. You won't, basically what the statute says is don't use anybody who's overqualified to do it.
But if we have a policy supporting that you're the person, then we need to make sure our rate schedule shows that if you're requesting emails, there's a rate schedule that's different than a document.
Where there's a legal review and it's going to take hours, and I'm the only one that can do it, you can charge the rate that I get, which is very expensive.
I mean, because how many hours do you have right now in that one PSR request of going through those emails?
25 to 30.
30 hours right now. And we didn't charge anything near that.
Well, we didn't even charge for it.
Right. So, I mean, that's where the fees, if we've got to address the fees. Requesting a document that Donna can get her hands on pretty fast, that should be standard. But when people are going through electronics and we got to see if it's exempt, not exempt, that becomes a larger issue. And I want to make sure that the commission's aware that the rate structure has to be different when it comes to things like that.
Okay. And Jim, a very, very good point, because I asked Bob this morning if he could take care of something for me, and he was right in the middle of this. We met up in the hallway there, and I said, I need to know if you can. I know you're busy, but could you look at this? And he couldn't because he's working on something that the public has requested, and he's got 20 to 35 hours in on different. I have a real problem with the rate fee not reflecting that, because it's detrimental to the performance of county government. Mm-hmm. I know the citizen has a right for a PSR request, but when we have our counselor that has to be involved in that, then it implies a added cost to the county commission's functioning ability.
One thing that I helped Bob with was we had a different request that didn't request all emails, but it only asked for emails that contained certain words, like names or names of a business.
She suggested that the IT department do a query with those words. I had them do that, and it was very simple because there were special words.
Okay, I hear you. We just passed a retention policy that's not allowed.
I know.
I'm just making sure. We passed a retention policy that says that the backups of the files is strictly for the restoration of computers, not for querying. Mm-hmm. And it was up to the individuals to provide that information.
Right.
So if we're going to do that, we need to change the policy we just passed 3 hours ago.
That's already been done. Okay, right. So the policy that we've passed is subsequent to it already being done. But as far as, that's how I had started doing it, just asking for, and that's how our planning and zoning director had provided his emails.
Mm-hmm.
And to be quite frank, there were 41 documents that were presented. And out of those 41 documents, three actually had nothing to do with this individual. They had to do with another issue on her road.
Okay.
Okay. And then one of the documents was in there like 10 times out of the 41. So, I mean, she may have gotten 15 to 20 documents, and I'll bet you she's already got them.
All right.
Through the process as we passed it under the email retention.
Bob, 8.2, 8.3, are those pulled directly from statutes, or is that?
Yes, I mean, I'm not saying they're word for word from the statute, but they are from the statute.
Let's look at the middle of 8.2, okay, where it says, based on the scope of the request.
Yes.
The county shall produce the copies using. Does that come directly out of the statutes?
Not word for word.
Well, my question
is,
is
basically what the statute says.
Well, in front of employees, can we put qualified?
Sure.
Just a minute. Qualified employees that result in the lowest amount of charges for search, research, and would that allow us then to utilize whatever expense we
the
want
appropriate
based upon
person,
whoever the qualified person is?
I believe that's right.
I would that would be a good word to put in there.
Because there are not very many people that are qualified to say whether or not
a document is exempt or not exempt,
exactly,
public or not public.
For example, I wouldn't be one of them.
Well, we'd have
but
to
an
ask
attorney,
the attorney to do it for us if it were
qualified work.
It says produce the copies, and there is a portion in the statute that talks about actually producing the copies. You don't have your attorney stand at the copying machine making copies.
You're saying that's the wrong section to put. That's the wrong place to put the word qualified, but. Do you know what Ron's saying? We need to make sure the
research of
the collecting of the data is by a qualified person.
Right, and we can put that in there. I think it's clear that we can do that. I mean, the legal review.
Well, I mean, it's left wide open to say research time required for filling records requests may be charged at the actual cost of research time. So I guess that's based upon who uses it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a copying. They don't want you having your county council or making the copies.
I understand, although I think it would be a wise use of his time.
At times. So do we basically go back to 7.1? Is that where the issue is then?
Section 7 is where the issues are.
Section 7, right.
If you want it centralized, the reason I chose this is I thought that was the direction that the commission wanted to go in, and I specifically looked for a policy to use as a template that had it decentralized, but I can certainly centralize it.
Well, I'm going to spend some time reading through this, if that's all right, President.
You mean other than approving it right now, you want to wait till a later date?
Yes, I would.
Okay. I'm with you on that.
Just know that currently we have a sunshine policy. There's been a sunshine policy passed that I really can't speak to the quality of the sunshine policy. It was passed prior to my being here. I've seen it. I think it's about one page long, and
give it to me.
I can't do that. I don't have it.
The part in question versus the part that covers it. It's kind of like confusing to me. I mean, I don't see that with 7.8. I don't see that Donna has a problem whatsoever. I understand what her concern might be, but I don't see that she has a problem in retrieving whatever she needs and access to. That, do you, Donna? I don't understand.
I don't like being limited on 7.1 when you turn around and put that nothing in this section shall be interpreted to restrict the county clerk. But 7.1 does restrict me. So I don't know why you turn around and say that.
It doesn't say that it won't restrict you. It says it won't restrict you from having access to or, when required by law, possession of the documents or copies of same necessary to perform the duties of county clerk, but not necessarily the duties of custodian of record for all of the departments. Because I was going in the direction of decentralization, which I thought was the direction I was supposed to head in.
For the position of custodian of record.
Right.
All right, Bob. And that specifically is what 7.1 does, correct? And then
that's
the
correct.
Others just set out, and then yet you throw the protection back in. I'm with you. I see.
And there's no other elected official that has a requirement of a misdemeanor if documents are destroyed and removal of office. If someone destroys these documents under 50.172, then I'm responsible, and I can be removed from office. But if their responsibility is given to other departments and custodians appointed by those department heads, I have an issue with that. I don't have a problem with them being stored there as long as nobody destroys them.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, every officer is charged with retention of certain documents and have the ability to remove those documents from... Am I mistaken about that? Am I mistaken about the fact that different officers are charged with responsibilities of retention of records within their offices? No? Yes?
Are we talking about destruction of?
I'm talking about retention of records in their office. And then, if I'm not mistaken, there is a retention policy by the Secretary of State, and the Secretary of State sets out within that policy when the different elected officials can get rid of certain documents within their offices.
Except this statute and the statute under financial statements overrides it when it comes to...
Oh, I don't think it overrides it. I think that... I'm not going to automatically assume that it overrides it. Go ahead.
Okay. Annually or in accordance with destruction rules adopted by the Secretary of State, the county clerk...
Can you read those to me?
All the Secretary of State's?
No, I think that it says that you've mentioned it, 28.120.
You're talking about, that hasn't had anything to do with destruction of records.
But there's another statement in there, too, about, you know, it can be housed other places under certain circumstances, too, in that statute. Besides,
is it 29.180 or
28.120.
But it doesn't say anything.
No, it doesn't. It's not,
You to that, and it refers the clerk to that, and it doesn't say anything.
No, it's absolutely worthless. The only thing I think of is at one point in time, must have said something, and then they took it out.
Couldn't one simple sentence satisfy your mind, Donna? And could that be that before of any destruction of records, contracts, or so-and-so, the county clerk must be contacted?
No, because it says, again, annually or in accordance with destruction rules adopted by the Secretary of State, the county clerk may destroy by burning or by any other method satisfactory to the county commission all paid accounts, vouchers, duplicate receipts, checks, and other documents which may have been on file in the office of the county clerk for a period of 5 years or longer, except such documents as may at the time be subject of litigation or dispute. plan of retention and destruction of financial records shall follow generally recognized governmental reporting practices. Which is another one that says I have to enter it into the minutes prior to destruction. And we keep on record.
I'm sorry, I just don't see anything in here that prevents you from complying with this statute that you're reading.
As long as no documents are destroyed by any other office, that being the auditor's office and...
It's not in here, is it? Did we talk about destruction records?
These documents that are in their office.
But we don't address that in this policy, do we?
No.
I don't remember the word destruction of documents.
That was my concern. That's what I said earlier. It should be added. That those documents that are being kept
I've got a 7.9. This section should not be interpreted to authorize any custodian of records pointed here under to destroy records unless otherwise provided by Missouri law.
And as you know, all laws have to be harmonized. So I don't want to go to jail for that.
I don't see in here where you're going to go to jail for that, Donna.
It's not in this section. It's in another statute that follows.
Can I do a 7.10?
No.
We can put it in there. Just teasing.
My concern, quite frankly, is not... My concern is the loss of records that we currently should have within this courthouse that I have some very real doubts are here. But that is another matter. What was the 7.10 you're talking about?
Well, she said that, I'm sorry, I was joking.
Okay, then.
She said there was nothing in here that said she was going to go to jail, so I said I can put
you,
it in
Oh, you
there.
Can. I'm sorry.
I was joking.
Well, good.
Oh, I didn't get that.
Okay, so you're going to rewrite with the 7.9 and redistribute to us so that we can review it and study it some more. Have another session before we vote on this.
Yes. Well, I'm certainly not ready to vote on it.
I'm not either, but I just want to make sure any of the modifications that we've talked about, I have a clean copy, I can get rid of this non-clean copy.
And your answer was yes, Bob?
Yes.
Thank you.
Then we're just going to repost, unless you want to put it on a definite time.
No, repost if you would, and again, Section 7, however you want to do it, I'll do it.
I understand. Gentlemen, what else do we have?
Executive session, sir.
Do we, is there anything that we had prior to that we could go back to?
That's the only two things we had left on the agenda. Before we go back into, I was going to ask you, can we go ahead and put a temporary... potential date on the reposting of the Sunshine Policy. I just don't want this to fall through the wayside of March 28th. It's 10 days from now. That maybe we could have it done. It's a Monday. I said that we're going to be in session. But no, that at least...
Let me check with the girls upstairs because I'm meeting with the Tax Commission one of those 3 days and I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't think, I'm confident it's not Monday, actually.
We have a full day Monday already, but we could do it Monday afternoon around 3 o'clock after the workman's comp bid presentations that we have posted.
What time are those posted for?
1 o'clock.
That'd be fine.
Then we don't have to decide that now. I'm going to go ahead and put that on here. They'll bring that before us again to confirm that, but Bob, we're going to try to shoot for the 28th to have another discussion about this. What?
I've written down the 28th.
Perfect. All right. So I'll repost for the 28th.
What would be wrong with the 23rd?
Which is a Wednesday?
No. Yes. 24th.
24th. I sent you that note. I'm having some scheduling.
We're not. Okay. 28th it is.
28th is what we're talking about in the afternoon.
For approval or disapproval?
Well, for more discussion.
More discussion, maybe both.
Once we get this policy in effect, then it's going to be, there'll be several copies, I guess, needed for our meeting that we're going to have on the Sunshine Law with Mr. Durkin and passed out to those people at that meeting.
Yeah, we kind of do have a deadline of the 13th because that would be a good time to hand out have it on file.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, our policy is this when you're doing the training, so we're still within the timeline, but that's a good point.
Are we asking for RSVPs by any chance on our...
We're not.
Maybe we should consider that for the 13th and 14th. That's when the 2 days the meetings are going to be held?
Yes, sir. We just concerned about capacity, possibly. We sent out letters to all the board members, I guess, yesterday.
Okay.
So we have a strong possibility that we'll be at capacity crowds. Mm-hmm. Both venues here and at the airport. Point Lookout, which will now become the Branson/College of the Ozarks Airport. They changed the name. The FAA did.
The FAA changed?
It's not going to be posted as Point Lookout anymore. We received an email late yesterday.
Did they get a different three-letter call sign? Or?
No. Call sign, PLK is still big, but it'll be... it's a confusing sentence, but FAA is what they wanted to be a correct associated airport city, and they chose the city.
Well, I know they wanted a three-letter that reflected Branson rather than PLK.
Yeah, PLK stayed in place is what I'm told. At least what the email says. So it'd be interesting. I think there's a press release he's working on, but we saw that email. But anyway, that's the location. And we want to do RSVP, Ron. We can. We just have to send documentation because we haven't asked anybody.
My thinking was I just really believe that we need to encourage as many as can to attend those meetings, including us, of course. And you say that earlier we finished the agenda review with Nikki?
Yeah,
I know she came out, but...
Yeah, I took notes.
You
want me to tell you what's on Monday the 21st?
We went through that entire thing there that she had over there on those requests.
We went through that stack of requests, but there were other things that were already listed.
No, sir, that was what we have. We have a preliminary study meeting set at 8:30. We have a bid opening for the workman's comp, plus our public meeting. We have a work session with Nikki, her list of things. We have...
Thank you, sir.
We have a list of about 9 things on the list, and we also have our judicial facility executive session scheduled for Monday afternoon.
What time is that?
1:00.
Gentlemen, there's a couple other things that we need to do, but I don't think we have time to do those next week. But one of them is a site visit to the F Highway barn to look at the request that was made by the ambulance district to house there.
He was going to come back to us. We sent him out. He was just come back to us with what he was going to request of us.
A recommendation.
Right. So we were going to wait for him to come back. So we kind of left it as he was going to go out there. I let Buildings and Ground know that he could walk around out there to look at the site. And if he needed some drawings, that's where to get buildings. And he was going to come back to us when he had that.
It would be my recommendation that we make a site visit there so that we can determine with our discussion about a polling place in that general area and the ambulance facility. So sometime in the next couple of weeks, I'd like to do that, get that out of her way. I know there's some time frame involved in that, in the discussions. I can't tell you what it is. I can't remember exactly what the time frame is, but there is one.
What about there on the 22nd, Dan? That's Tuesday.
You mean next Tuesday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do we schedule something like that off-site?
We take a recorder with us usually and record the meeting.
Like
even if it's just a tour of the property?
If it's tour, and then if there's just discussion, we record it, or we'll take someone to take notes. If there's a lot of times we don't take anybody with us because it's...
You don't have a problem with the 22nd, say 9 in the morning?
No.
Is it all right?
I don't know.
We have the annual Upper White Ribbon Basin Stakeholders and Partners meeting. It's in Harrison that we've been invited to, that we've RSVP'd.
Did they RSVP for me? Because I didn't get the invitation. You?
We all got the invitation.
Mm-hmm. I get it. Also.
Someone, we normally had sent.
So are you going to tell them you're going to be over at this site visit?
Well.
I'm just kidding.
If we're going to do a site visit, might as well include the ambulance district director, though. There's no really reason for us to go out there without that.
Well, let's wait till we hear from him, then.
I mean, or just we coordinate the meeting with him, but however you want to do it. But I would think that he's already gone out there, which I think we gave him the direction. So,
what does that mean?
Annual Upper White River Basin Stakeholders and Partners Meeting. It's in Harrison, Arkansas.
My only
The biggest thing is the White River Control Plan is what all we go for is to make sure we hear what they're going to do to the White River.
Raise our levels in Bull Shoals Park.
Right. That's all we actually go. And we normally send two individuals, which no longer with the county, going to attend those. So, one person's been reallocated, one person's no longer with the county, so we don't have the same people to send. So.
My only purpose for that site visit was to... So that we would be informed of possible area and...
Are you going to that meeting?
Talk that down.
Do you want you and I to go over the property? Is that what you're intimating?
No.
No? Okay.
I want all three of us to go because it's a decision. But why can't we do that on a Thursday, like after a lunch that we have, if we go to lunch? We could run over there after we get through and before we schedule another meeting.
We can do that. Do you want to invite the ambulance person?
Yes, we can invite them.
Then let's have the staff upstairs find the time during lunch hour and just let them coordinate that
meeting.
Yeah.
Is that okay, Ron?
Yes, sir.
There's something time sensitive about it, and
I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay, all we have left is the executive session personnel that was requested.
I would entertain a motion to go into executive session for
personnel.
Motion
to go to executive pursuant 610.021.3 personnel.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to go into executive session for reasons of personnel. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries unanimously.
You want me in or out?